Would you take your Bible, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Excited to have this opportunity with you tonight. For some reason, Pastor Matt didn't want to prepare sermons while on vacation. So I thank you for this opportunity, Pastor. By way of a title, I've given you two words that are at first seemingly incompatible. Two words that don't seem to go together. A solemn celebration. But the point is, in two words such as this that don't go together, the point is that after some time, some thought, experience, and an overall maybe general enlightenment, one comes to understand the worth and the value of two words that don't seem to go together. Let me illustrate with maybe two different words. Microsoft Works. Some in our midst would decry the compatibility of these two terms. In fact, I think it may have been insinuated from this very pulpit at one point. But others of us, through time and experience and, well, general enlightenment, have come to understand the worth of these two terms when compared to, I don't know, maybe a half-eaten piece of fruit, possibly. The two words I give to you this evening are solemn celebration. Two words that, when applied to the communion table, accurately represent how we are to approach and to come to this table together in unity tonight. We do not come tonight in mourning, wearing all black. But neither do we come as if it is some championship basketball game celebration. Unless you're from Wisconsin, then maybe you can figure out a way to do both of those at the same time. We come tonight to somberly and seriously reflect on what it cost our Savior to secure our salvation. While at the same time, we come to celebrate what has been done by the work of Christ on our behalf. We come to rejoice and to delight in what God in Christ has done for us. And I think Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 affords us the text to which we can solemnly celebrate all that this table symbolizes for us this evening. Verses 3 through 14 in the original languages is one long sentence. One long unending sentence, much like many of the papers that I wrote while in seminary. One long unending sentence. That's how Paul writes this here to us. This text was commented on by one man, and he said this: "This is the most monstrous sentence conglomeration that I have ever found in the Greek language. One long sentence, but yet at the same time, one beautiful sentence recounting for us the spiritual blessings that we possess because of the work of Christ on the cross." Some organize this text when they come to it by way of all of the in Him or the in Christ. And they will set up the organization of this text based on every time they see an in Him or an in Christ or in the Beloved or a variation of that. Others organize this text around the three phrases you find in verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14, which says, "To the praise of His glory." I would organize this text according to verse 3, in which I think Paul lays out for us what his point is, what our job is, what our duty is, and then what follows in verses 4 through 14 is the reasons why we have reason to bless and praise and worship our great God. Tonight we want to celebrate God for all that He has blessed us with. Paul begins in verse number 3 with these words. The ESV reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." The very first word we come in contact with here, blessed, in verse 3, is like a small snowball that begins rolling at the top of the hill And we meet that snowball. We meet that term here at the top of the hill. And it just continues to roll. And it continues to get larger and bigger as we work down through this text. The more reasons we have to praise God, the more reasons we have to bless God, continues to grow from verse 4 to verse 6 to verse 12 to verse 14. The whole passage screams to us, these are the reasons why you have the opportunity to celebrate solemnly at this communion table this evening. Paul begins with this timeless statement that recognizes God the Father as the giver of all gifts, much as James says, as the one who gives the blessings, is the one who does the blessings. And then he says that this is done. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. This is the heart of the passage, which then flows out all the reasons we have for praising God. In Christ, by means of our union with Christ, we have been given these blessings that now follow out of this text, with obviously the major blessing being just that, our union with Christ, which makes the rest of these blessings that come out of verse 4 and following possible. The most important phrase of this passage, in Christ, is repeated some 11 times in one way or another. This phrase is what makes this passage relative to what we are about to partake of tonight. This phrase, being in Christ, is what qualifies us for this solemn celebration of this table. Paul says there in verse 3 of these blessings that we have received, he says, first of all, they're spiritual blessings. All the blessings that follow are sourced in God and given to us. And he parallels that with telling us where they are sourced, not only in God, but where they came from heavenly places. They originated not from here. So these blessings are not good health, financial security, not anything else that we might earthly tag as a blessing. What follows are the spiritual blessings sourced in God Himself, and then flow as they flow out to us through our union with Jesus Christ. So with that challenge in verse number 3, with Paul's challenge to us, let me equally challenge you to come to this table tonight, this evening, and solemnly celebrate, first of all, God's election of you. Look at verse number 4 with me. Solemnly celebrate God's election of you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, because He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. The first reason to praise God in coming to this table this evening is because of God's sovereign election of you. I think the conjunction better reads here, because of what God has done, because gives us the cause for giving praise to God. So you may look at verse 3 and say, well, why should I bless God? What has He done for me? And Paul would say, because, first of all, He has chosen you. This is the same Greek word that is used in the Septuagint when referring to God's choice of Aaron and Abraham and Moses and David and Jacob. God chose us for Himself. He chose for Himself a people to be used in His service, not because of any worth that we possess. We don't come to this table this evening because we earned it or because we are worthy of it. We come out of God's, as Paul's going to say in a moment, God's grace lavished upon us. Knowing your own heart's propensity to sin and to idolatry and to wrong worship, what we see here in verse number 4 is the manifestation of God's amazing grace to choose you and to choose me. To choose us and to use us. That's what brings the response that Paul drives for in verse number 3. the praise, the worship, the adoration of our God. I came across a quote this week that said this: apart from God showing His favor on your life, you are no different from those who yelled, "Crucify Him." Solemnly celebrate God's election of you as you come to this table. This gives us great reason to not just reflect on all that Christ went through, but to celebrate all that was accomplished because of what He went through. Secondly, as you come to the communion table this evening, solemnly celebrate God's adoption of you. In verse 5, we read Paul saying, "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will." In love, He was motivated. Motivated by love, God took all the initiative to bring us into a non-damning relationship with Himself through Jesus Christ. I can't think of much better reasons to celebrate with you this evening than God has adopted us to be part of His family. This picture that we see here of God predestined and choosing us is totally opposite of any picture of God's election where God appears cold or dispassionate or determinative. What we see here is His motivation of love. This is not just something that God did and He determined to do, and nothing was going to undetermine Him to do it. But Paul says in verse 5 that this was done according to the purpose or the delight of His will. He delighted in looking down upon us and saying, "I'm going to choose you to be in My family." I don't know about you, but I can't wrap my brain around that. Why God would look at us and choose us to love. Praise God tonight when you come to this table, because His purpose in choosing you was to bring Himself glory by bringing you into a personal relationship with Himself through Christ, as Paul says in verse number 5. So now, as we come to this table, we are able to call Him Father. We are able to pray to Him as our Heavenly Father. When, as Paul just wrote a few chapters earlier, we were nothing but sons of disobedience and children of wrath. Now we cry out to Him, Father. In verse 7, Paul continues to give us reasons to come to this table. And in verse number 7, he wants you to solemnly celebrate God's redemption upon your life. God's redemption of you. Solemnly celebrate God's redemption of you. In verse 7, we read that most important phrase again here in chapter 1. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. How did this happen? It happened according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. There's a change here from the past tense of when God chose us to the present tense as he tackles the subject of redemption. He changes to the present, I think, to emphasize that there is a present experience with the forgiveness of sins. This is not just your sins will be forgiven. Your sins are forgiven now. You have been bought back from the marketplace of sin now. Praise God. Celebrate at this table because your sins are forgiven now, tonight. As you seek Him in self-examination, as you prepare your own heart, your sins are forgiven now. And we were blessed by God, as Paul said in verse number 3. We were blessed by God through Christ's act of purchasing us out from underneath the curse of the law through the shedding of His blood. That's what secured our redemption. Redemption is our liberation from the bondage and the imprisonment of sin. This rescue of redemption is in keeping with the riches of God's grace. How many pages could be filled? How many hours of time could be consumed if we began to give testimonies together about how God's grace has been lavished upon each and every one of us in this room. From the heavenly spiritual blessings which we are talking about to the physical blessings that God has bestowed upon us and all of the provisions, how many days and weeks could be filled as we talked about God's grace being lavished upon us. That's the only reason we can come to this table at all, is because of God's grace, evident in purchasing us out of our bondage from sin. So let me challenge you tonight. Celebrate tonight at this table. Let's celebrate together God's grace to you in not only choosing you, not only adopting you into His family, but then also redeeming you. Now, as you drop down to verse 11, I think we can see that you are also called to solemnly celebrate God's possession of you. God's possession of you. He's been talking about choosing, and he's using this word, our word that we get eulogy from, to talk about God's choice and praising God. And praising God, that eulogy of praising God comes as we understand that God chose us. And yet he changes his wording here. He uses another word that means choose, but a different word. And he uses it in a different grammatical sense, in the passive sense, I believe, to show us that not are we receiving the inheritance, but we are the inheritance. We are blessed by God by Him choosing to lay claim to our lives. We are not being given an inheritance here. But I think what Paul is saying is that we are the inheritance, the property and the possession of God. And we are blessed by God by Him choosing to lay His claim upon us to our lives so that we might then live our life in praise to Him. God gave us, then the text says, His Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, was given to us as a stamp or a proof of His ownership upon our lives. And God has marked all of His people as belonging to Himself by means of a seal, the Bible tells us. That seal being the promised Holy Spirit. And so Paul challenges us to solemnly celebrate God's possession of us. He owns us. We were bought with a price. We are His. And no matter how much we try to shake that, we can't. Praise be to God alone for His possession of us. The presence of the Holy Spirit is, in this text, the firm indication that the person who is possessed by God, as well as the deposit of our future inheritance, is the Holy Spirit. All the more reason, then, to be filled with the Spirit, to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I think this text tells us that God's ultimate purpose in selecting and predestining a people for Himself is that it would lead to His own glory. That it would lead to the doxological approach to life, His own glory. Look at verse 6. That all of this adopting and choosing and predestining would be done to the praise of His glorious grace. And again in verse 12. You have been possessed by God. He owns you so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be, might live, might exist to the praise of His glory. And once again, just in case we didn't get it those two times, he says in verse 14 of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. As you come to the communion table tonight, solemnly reflect on the death of Christ on your behalf. What He went through. The rejection by His Father. The physical monstrosities of crucifixion. Solemnly reflect on that. But also, celebrate as you come to this table. Celebrate all of the spiritual blessings that have come to you, to me, to us as an assembly, because of Christ's payment for your sins. Back in the beginning of the text, Paul says that God elected you to be holy and blameless. And so in preparation for the partaking of this text, I would say this evening that if your life hasn't been reflecting the holiness of God, then I would say in a moment of self-examination, find that relational renewal of 1 John 1:9 before coming to this table, before these elements are passed. Pray and self-examine your heart and make your heart right so that you may not be in violation of the beautiful unity that this table presents to us. Perhaps you're out of fellowship or in conflict or in disunity with someone else in this body. I would challenge you to go to them before these elements are passed. Make it right so that you may not be, they may not be, in violation of this table. Maybe they're not here this evening. I would challenge you to think about maybe not partaking of this table until you can make things right with your brother or sister in Christ. This solemn celebration is that important that we are to go to those lengths when considering whether we should partake or not. So as you come tonight, celebrate your salvation. Solemnly reflect, but celebrate. As we sing in just a moment before the Father's throne above, I challenge you as you sing the words of that text. Sing in celebration of your high priest. Sing in celebration of his possession of you. Sing in celebration of the security that you have in the Savior. Sing in celebration of your freedom from the bondage of sin. Sing to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His mercy and grace, because He is a God who saves. Father, we bow before You, understanding that from this text of Scripture, there is not one element of which we are worthy to have received from You. God, I pray that You will prepare our hearts now for the taking of this table. Lord, that it will not just be something that we do once a month, ritualistically, but that tonight we will solemnly reflect on what Your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us, and that we will celebrate Your redemption plan for our lives. Jesus, our Savior, we praise You that because of Your sacrifice, God could look down upon us and see Your righteousness. Thank You for Your example of submission and obedience to the Father, for Your sacrifice of love to us as Your creation. God, we thank You for the Holy Spirit. Spirit, we pray that You will work in our lives this evening, that we may continue to evidence the possession of God our Father upon us through cultivating the fruits of the Spirit. May You receive our praise now as we sing in celebration. Receive it as worship before You, our most holy, most loved, and most worthy God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.